for a check on what's going on in the city circle, you know, with council. Mayor Chad Baczynski every Thursday. Mayor kindly joins me for a visit, and I thank you, sir, again for returning. But before we get into city matters, help me unpack the failure of our Edmonton Oilers. We both cheer for them proudly. Why do you think they lost again?
I mean, I don't know. I think Florida's a great team, unfortunately. I mean, they just seem to be on top of every play, every, you know, they just didn't let up. And I don't think that I don't know if we just weren't ready for that, but yeah, it's not a good feeling.
Keeping kind of with sports on a local level here, I wanted to ask you about the Alan Simpson and Sean Semple relationship taking over the Regina Red Sox under the Regina Pats umbrella recently. In that announcement, Semple seemed committed in supporting the Red Sox efforts to get a new ballpark, much like the vision we've seen in the past, right, of the rail yards. Now, considering the city's interest in Dewdney refurbishment, the future of downtown, with a mix of maybe private support and donations and some city help, could you get on board with this vision of a new ballpark and maybe an arena?
Yeah, you know, it's exciting. I think the exciting part for me is, you know, to see the interest in those types of investments and those comments being made. So, you know, for the city, you know, we got to make sure we're reviewing everything properly. I mean, I think we want to make sure we understand what all interest is coming forward for, you know, if we're talking the yard specifically, we got to see what all those that looks like. But absolutely, it's exciting to see that there's interest in doing something like that and providing more venues and things like that in the city. So there's opportunity. The city will definitely want to hear about that.
Coming up after the 7 o'clock news, the new real CEO, Rick Bennett. He is going to join me live here. And, of course, you know, for many citizens, real leaves a bad taste in their mouth because of financial insecurities. What do you hope Rick makes as a priority?
Yeah, my hope, and I'm confident that this is where we're going, is to bring stability, right? I think that's, and like you said, I think residents are wanting that stability, that self-sustainability to make sure that real is operating in a way and we have an operating model that's successful. Between the city and real to make sure that it's sustainable and that it's providing the services and the venue space that we need as a city to be successful. So, yeah, I'm excited. You know, I think Rick's going to do a great job. You know, he's got a lot of really great experience that I think lends itself to the campus that we have here in Regina.
Yesterday at city committee meeting, it was kind of discussed how to maybe plan ahead for the city's future budget seasons in an effort to streamline the process. I'm reading between the lines here. Is this something you and council are trying to fix because you experienced it and want to make it better? Like, what are you doing here?
It is. You know, 9 out of 11 of us are new. We went through a budget process that, you know, it was brand new for most of us. And I think we saw it as an opportunity to take a lot of the lessons learned around that process and apply it to what we do going forward. And really, it's, you know, it's enhancing the engagement, giving us a bit of a better cadence on how we can kind of collaborate through that budget process rather than, you know, having something kind of presented and going through it as a whole in one big chunk. It kind of lets us progress through it collaboratively, which I think lends itself to better discussion, more transparency, and ultimately a better outcome.
So whatever the discussion has been, you're still going to have to take it before council and make a final approval notice on this or what?
Yeah, in fact, we're actually going to have more time in council, so that way it's transparent not just for council, but also for the public. So there'll be more opportunity for public discourse on that and more transparency around the process itself.
Here, Chad Baczynski here in the big show this morning. Tomorrow, I might see you in Victoria Park, I'll bet, huh?
Yeah, National Indigenous Peoples Day is it'll be going on for a good chunk of the morning. There'll be some events happening in the park tomorrow. So, yeah, I'll absolutely be in Vic Park tomorrow, and I hope to see lots of folks down there.
Yeah, 10 o'clock it starts, and the weather's going to be on your side before it starts to rain on the weekend. So, Mayor Chad, I believe that's it. My time's up, and thank you for yours.
Awesome. Thanks, Greg.
Here we are, the last full day of spring. Summer officially arriving tomorrow, just as we've had enough rain to help quell, but not to totally eliminate the wildfire situation up north. But I am looking at some of the numbers here. It's pretty heartbreaking. 277 homes, 60 cabins, 115 RVs destroyed by fire over the last few weeks. But yeah, a little moisture has helped. The provincial fire ban has been lifted, although not every provincial park will have lifted a fire ban. You should always call ahead and just check it. Each one is individually different, obviously. But if you're going camping, probably not this weekend. It looks pretty wet. High school finals on right now. Pressure cooker time for a lot of students in households. Good luck to everyone finishing up on finals. And, of course, it's graduation season as well here, too. I think this weekend, normally the last few weekends, you've seen a lot of grads all decked out in their new threads, the new gowns, and they're posing on the steps of the ledge. Better get that in tomorrow because Saturday, Sunday, looks like it's going to be pretty lousy to have that happen with a pretty steady rain in the forecast here, too. And I know flag football into the last weekend this weekend. So what might happen to game Saturday if this rain comes? Could be postponed and wrap up, but I think games tomorrow should be okay. I want to bring attention to you coffee drinkers. Some good news.
I don't want to cause a stampede or a revolt, but we don't have any coffee.
Yeah, a while ago, scientists debunked the myth that drinking coffee stunts your growth when you're young. And now we're hearing that it doesn't stunt your life when you're older. There's a new study. This gives me happiness. It comes from Tufts University, which shows that drinking 1 to 3 cups of caffeinated coffee daily is associated with lower overall mortality, particularly from cardiovascular causes. So it could be extending your life, but there is a catch. The benefits are specifically for black coffee. Once you add cream, sugar, whatever is in that giant drink you just ordered from Starbucks, it all becomes less healthy. But again, drinking 2 to 3 cups more a day, slightly better than drinking 1 cup. However, there was no added benefits to drinking more than 3 cups of coffee in a day. But again, it's got to be black. It's healthier and better for you. Before we hit the midway up and ride as many as we can. Well, okay, your kids will likely. Depends how old you are now. But looking forward to the Queen City X. I'll get to some of those details with my next guest in a second here. He is the new CEO of The Real District. He's Rick Benetton. Thanks for joining me here, Rick. Now, it's not like we're on a game show here, but I got to get to know you first. Tell me a little about yourself, where you're from. You got a dog? Who are you, Rick?
I love it. So Ottawa's home, and actually, interestingly, we live just down the street from the old Frank Clair Stadium. So the other Rough Riders are deep in my blood from the youngster. But
we'll change that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's very easy to do. I've proudly got the number 13 Harris jersey on for the first couple games, 2-0, which is fantastic. We've had a brilliant career, my family. We've been around the globe. We're relocating from Calgary right now to this beautiful city of Regina, my wife and I. But prior to that, we've had some unique experiences with iconic venues, sports, entertainment, hotels, high-touch customer businesses in Vancouver, to Sydney, Australia, Asia Pacific, London. Think of great mega stadiums like the Sydney Cricket Ground. But also a lot of venues, including building the Sarnia Sports and Entertainment Center for the OHL Sarnia Sting. And so it's been a fantastic journey. And I really hope to bring that collection of experiences here to Regina.
Well, you got some credentials there, Rick. I'm going to interrupt you there. You got a lot of credentials. So I suspect there's going to be a major concert announcement at Mosaic Stadium in the next year. But before I even get there, hey, over the years, let's be real. The Real District's respect level has gone down in the eyes of some citizens. Real's been having its financial failures in some ways. So what measures do you expect to take and change that?
Greg, no question. Real doesn't need another reporter debate. It needs movements that matter, and it's not lost on me the challenges that have existed. But together, I'm confident we're going to restore trust. A big priority is stabilize finances, reignite purpose. And immediately, we need to start delivering results that matter and that speak to the city that says we're here to be credible and we're here to be sustainable over the long run. And that's going to take some heavy lifting, and it won't happen in the first couple months.
Well, I believe there's an updated facility maintenance assessment that's been just completed now. What sort of financial numbers is the new report talking about? Because a few years ago, the last report, I think it was saying it would be about a $44 million investment for new infrastructure. What is it at now, and how quickly can you get there?
We're wrapping our arms around the report right now. I'm not going to give you an exact number. It's day number three for me in the job. And
is it over $44 million, Rick?
Well, costs aren't decreasing in the world nowadays. So hey, there's a couple big nuggets in there. We got to recognize the brand center and its life cycle. It's at the end. It's not a conversation to replace the building today, but it does need to become a conversation in the future so we remain competitive in that sports and entertainment space. So to get there, I think one of the solutions is continued private sector investment.
You won't get any argument about me. The Brand Center days should be over as far as I'm concerned. And it's going to take some work there. Not everyone's on board for a new arena, but count me in as one who would be. But the new Real CEO, Rick Bennett, is here. We're going to talk Queen City X. The dates are July 30th, August 3rd. How did this Midway happen here? We had West Coast Amusement step in now because the previous North American Midway Entertainment Group, or Conklin Shows as many remember them, has been our Midway provider forever. How did this decades-old relationship end? Was it a conscious effort for change, or did someone drop the ball?
I'm going to give you a couple answers there. One, there's been a conscious decision, and we really want to present ourselves as a Canadian content operation. So West Coast is been around for generations. In fact, they started 83 years ago. And so they're now our new long-term ride partner. And they're bringing 41 rides as well. Classic Zipper is returning. But they're also reinvesting for the future. And that was an important component for us, is that we could see continued reinvestment in the future. And that was one of the reasons to shift over to West Coast. But Greg, we now present 100% Canadian content show, from the music to the food to the Midway. And we've gone a little bit further and said, how do we make it more affordable? How do we make it more accessible? And the ticketing options that we've come to market with tell that story. So I think it's going to be a really exciting opportunity this year. Experience, and we're eager to hear this year the reaction from the community as well.
Will the Midway be smaller, though, than previous years?
I'm not sure I can answer that. We've got 41 rides. The overall footprint is going to remain the same. You know, the mix of rides. Some rides may not be here that people have been accustomed to, but we're introducing new that hopefully will create the same sort of memory.
Okay, a new Real CEO, Rick Bennett. Time's up, my friend, but a good first round. I hope you'll go a second round with me in the not-too-distant future.
Enjoyed the conversation, Greg. Let's keep it going. There's a lot of great stories to tell coming out of Real.
Well, if you are a longtime listener of this show, you know my all-time favorite movie, I've said it many times, is Jaws. And tomorrow marks the 50th anniversary of the release of Jaws. And boy, oh boy, am I going to celebrate. And I'm really stoked about some of my guests tomorrow. Just a heads up, to celebrate Jaws' 50th anniversary on Friday morning, a guy by the name of Jeffrey Voorhees is going to join me. He was in Jaws. He was 12 years old at the time when he got the role as Alex Kinter. And he's the young man who gets eaten by the shark when he swims out on that yellow raft. And his mom then slaps Brody, the chief of police, for not sharing there was a shark. You remember that scene? Well, Jeffrey is quite the hoot. He's going to be on the show tomorrow to share what it was like at the age of 12 with Steven Spielberg guiding him on how to get eaten by a shark. And then I found another guest to join me to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Jaws being released in theaters tomorrow. And he's Jim Beller. He is the owner of the largest collection of Jaws memorabilia that you can even think of. He's even got, rubber teeth from the shark that was used in the movie, and then some other crazy stuff. And he knows a lot about Jaws, too, and is going to teach us a thing or two about what you may never have heard during the making of Jaws. So big celebration of my all-time favorite movie on the 50th anniversary of the release of Jaws. Where were you when you first saw that movie? I know many were probably like me, very young kid. My dad took me, ignored the whole fact that on the movie poster it said, this movie may be too intense for young children. I'll never forget when the head popped out of the bottom of the boat and the shark and going home after seeing Jaws for the first time as a little kid and checking under my bed before I went to sleep. Well, I couldn't sleep that night. I was mortified. And then we grew up with a cabin on Echo Lake, and every time I jumped into Echo Lake, that's what that movie has done. It created a fear of sharks around the globe. It's Jaws' 50th anniversary tomorrow, and we'll celebrate as best as we can with special guests from the movie. I'm looking forward to it. The Riders held a close practice yesterday, but Coach Mace confirmed that Sam Emelis is out after injuring his foot last weekend against Hamilton.
It's going to be pretty tough for old Sammy this week, but not anticipating anything long term, which is good. Just going to be tough for him this week.
I know Britton Gray, our Rider reporter, was seen telling me that he saw American Robustelli. Is it Robustelli? I'm saying that wrong. Robustelli. That's it. Getting reps. And maybe he's going to be stepping in there, too. No one is more excited than Kadeem Carey. The Riders picked up the All-Star after the Argos got him at training camp. He's jacked
up. Lot of motivation going there. So, I mean, I'm with the right team. They're going to go out there. Coach's going to put me in the right position to make plays. And everybody else is just going to have fun.
This has got to be another win because Toronto's got something like 7 starters, a couple injured on special teams. They're decimated right now. Quarterback Chad Kelly will not be starting. It's going to be Arbuckle. Game time tomorrow is 5:30, and the Green Zone pregame show will crank it up at 3:30 tomorrow afternoon. Actually, week 3 of the CFL opens tonight with the Elks home to the Alouettes. Edmonton lost its first game and then had a bye week, and Montreal is 2-0.